Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, and it is truly great. And on a morning like this where we get to remember that faithfulness, I pray that not only would we rejoice and praise you, but be reminded of your faithfulness in each of our lives. We thank you. We love you. We praise you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning. It is good to be here. What a blessing to celebrate our anniversary. When my kids asked if I was preaching this Sunday, I said, no, it's anniversary Sunday. We get to hear testimonies. And I look forward to hearing what they often say, which is, I love listening to testimonies. And they said, I love frostbites, which technically is a testimony to God's goodness. But it's our tradition every year to celebrate our anniversary. Again, we started Lighthouse in 2003. And so as Pastor Jason mentioned, we are celebrating our 19th anniversary. And we celebrate because we know biblically as people we're prone to forget. Not forget our anniversary, though. I'm guessing that describes some people in this room, but prone to forget God's faithfulness. In fact, one passage we have looked at in the past on our anniversary Sunday is Deuteronomy 8. It's a passage where Moses is warning Israel on the cusp of entering Canaan not to forget God when they experience the prosperity of the promised land. The idea being that when things are good, they'll be tempted to take credit for what they have done and to forget God, the Lord who has been faithful. And it's been good for us to consider because God has been so very kind to us as a church, and we want to be careful of forgetting all that he's done. And so the purpose of remembering and celebrating our anniversary is kind of the opposite of congratulating ourselves, and it's us doing our best to acknowledge and remember that whatever has happened in Lighthouse or through Lighthouse has been by the sovereign grace of our Savior. We are not the product of programs or talent or organization or intelligence. We are a product of the grace of God. So that's why we celebrate our anniversary every year. But that being said, it's been a unique time when maybe our greatest problem might not be remembering God's blessings, but actually seeing them. It's been a uniquely challenging couple of years for most of us. And even though things seem to be improving, I'm guessing for some it might be difficult to actually slow down and come up with a bunch of things to be thankful for. I mean, on one hand, it'd be easy to come up with a list of lost vacations and family tensions and arguments over current issues and financial loss. It'd be easy to discuss the various pains and hurts, questions and confusions, fears and worries. But a list of blessings, surely we could think of some, but for many it might seem a little bit of a shorter list than normal. And beyond what is happening in our world, for some of you, you're just going through your own difficult times, right? You have your own sufferings, and it's hard to see what God is doing. But here's the thing. Theologically, the reality is God has been constantly moving, constantly gracious, constantly loving. Needless to say, the pandemic and everything else that has happened in our culture over the last few years did not represent a moratorium on God's working, but really is supposed to be the manifestation of it. So what gives? There seems to be this dissonance between the relentlessly loving God we believe in and the challenges and difficulties that are around us. Well, in Psalm 3, King David was in a similar situation. He knows God to be good, and yet he's going through one of the greatest sufferings he faced. It was when he was running in the wilderness from his son Absalom. We don't have time to explain the whole story. But David's son Absalom led a rebellion, stole the kingdom, and sought to kill his father, the king. So all of us have suffered in different ways, but can you imagine not just a prodigal son, but a rebellious son? Who wasn't just this angsty teen saying, I wish you were dead, but literally trying to murder you. You've lost your kingdom, the comforts of the palace, the support of your people, and your own son wants your life. Listen to how David describes it in Psalm 3, verses 1 and 2. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying to my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Okay, so this is what he sees. It's his circumstance. It's his reality. He's surrounded by enemies. It feels overwhelming to the point that he can't count all his problems. And the message his circumstances are preaching to him is that God will not be faithful. As it says, many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. In other words, what he sees tells him there's little hope. And you can imagine how he felt. Most of us have been there to some degree. Struggling, even crying out to the Lord, where are you? But this is where David does what we need to do. He looks beyond what he sees to what he knows to be true. Verse 3, but you, O Lord. Okay, so despite all the circumstances, despite what he sees, he says, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. So despite his sufferings and the message they are preaching, David knows the truth that God will be faithful. I mean, even this term, Lord, you are my glory, refers to the idea that despite losing his earthly glory with the loss of his throne in the kingdom, his hope is in the glory of the Lord. But do you see the difference? There's what he sees and there's what he believes. One of the marks of a mature Christian isn't just thanking God for the things we see, but the things we don't see. It's to know the greatest blessings aren't circumstantial, but spiritual. It's to know that God's movement isn't just in our world, but in our hearts. It's to know that rightly directed hope is not horizontal, but vertical. It's to know that joy and peace aren't rooted in what is going on around us, but in us. And the reason this came to mind, why I wanted to share it, is that when I read the testimonies you will hear in a minute, there seems to be a point where for all of them, where it's difficult to see God, what he's doing, his goodness. At times there was worry or frustration, at times a confusion of self-righteousness with real relationships, at times pursuing the gift over the giver, at times being a bit overwhelmed at what is happening in our country, at times experiencing hurts within the church. That is what they saw, even felt. But then each of them takes a moment to focus on what they believe and know to be true about God. There's a point for each of them where they realize that God has a plan for them, really a plan for their hearts that he is accomplishing. They consider the gospel, his grace and righteousness, his work in their lives, his love through the church, and it changes them. And so it was so good for me, like, to be reminded that despite what I see, I need to remember what I believe. When I personally think of the last year, I can definitely see grace in some of the circumstances, but I can also share many hard times. But through it all, God has was unrelenting in his pursuit of my heart, constantly pouring out grace upon me. And there were too many times to count when I realized that God was changing me and challenging me and confronting me all so that he could love me. There's been a unique kindness even in the sorrows. And that, brothers and sisters, is so unique to Christianity. Right? Our ability to see beyond our circumstances to our Savior, to have chaos around us, and yet be thankful for the Christ in us. And so as you listen to the testimonies, I hope on one hand you're encouraged and moved to praise, like just to hear of God's grace in brothers and sisters' lives. But I hope that you will also be reminded of God's relentless faithfulness in your life, that it would encourage you to go beyond what you see to know what you know to be true. God is working and he is faithful. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many graces. But beyond what we see, Lord, help us to remember what we know, to have faith, to trust in your loving activity, even when it isn't apparent. And so, Lord, as we listen to these testimonies, help us to be reminded of your relentless love and faithfulness. Thank you that we get to hear of your goodness and your kindness in the lives of some of our church family. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. With that, we'll get to hear our first testimony from Daniel and Susie Pio.
Good morning, church. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Daniel Pio, and I've been married to my wife, Susie, for coming up on 15 years, and we have 3 kids. We're Kaden, Colin, and Chloe. And we've been attending Lighthouse for the past 9.5 years, and I seriously don't know where the time went. It seems like it was yesterday when we came through those doors for our very first service at Lighthouse. But I'm reminded it has been 9.5 years whenever I get those photo notifications, right? On this day, I actually kind of like those photo notifications because I get to remember all of the great memories in years past, especially with the busyness of life. I don't sit and think about specific moments, specific days, because I'm focused on the current or the future, right? Like, what are we gonna do today? Like, where are we gonna go for lunch, right? I mean, what are the plans for tomorrow, as you all can understand? With that said, when I was asked to share my testimony of God's faithfulness about a month ago, of course, my thought was to say no and think of other reasons, like there's others that can do it. But I'm actually thankful I was asked to share it because it was good for my soul to sit and ponder upon God's faithfulness over the years. But more so, it reminded me of God, of the God we worship, the object of my faith, right? His character. And so it's like those photos. It's fun to remember all the activities, events, places visited in the past. But what's most important to me when I see those photos is the people, right? The people I was able to experience those things with. So this morning, I have the privilege of sharing with you all my personal testimony of God's faithfulness over the years. There's many moments of God's faithfulness, but I'd like to share about a couple of examples of his faithfulness. And hopefully from my testimony, we can go away more thankful to the God we worship, the object of our faith, and truly see that the Lord is good. In the early years of my faith, I remember there was a pastor that once said in his message that if your view of God is this small, then your faith will be this small. Like, so in other words, if you know God this much, then your faith will be this much, vice versa, right? So the basic application I took away was to read my Bible more, right? It makes sense, right? Pretty logical. And as a new believer, I was like, sign me up. I mean, who wants small faith? So what I do, I started to read the Bible more, read Christian books, take Bible classes, listen to sermons on the radio, attend certain events, retreats, so that I can grow my faith, all good stuff. Nothing wrong with it at all. But this was a routine regimen for years and years, and this brought a certain type of confidence and assurance that as long as I'm learning, which equals to growing in faith, and I live a relatively moral life, God was pleased with me. But there was something wrong because I lost sight of who I was doing it for. Finding myself growing intellectually, but not relationally. I was knowing more about him, but I didn't know him. It's like if someone does something good for you, or is gracious towards you, the immediate reaction is to try doing something good or gracious back to the person because of the act of kindness, right? Likewise, I find myself after accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I wanted to do something back to please God. To be completely real and honest, there was some sense that I didn't want God to think he made a mistake of granting me salvation, so I'm going to work at it to prove it was the right decision. And in my mind, and based on what the pastor said, growing in faith by knowing more theology was the answer. So I took the pastor's message more of what to do, the game plan to grow in faith, rather than the pastor's intent of knowing God more, his character. So after 10 years into my Christian walk, God faithfully revealed to me that where I lost sight in my faith and how much pride I had in myself for being worldly good and how much of the Bible I knew. I was going down this path of self-righteousness where I was convinced that I had strong faith based in my life, my surroundings, and how much I knew the Bible. But I remember it was like early 2012 where God convicted me of my identity not being in him, but in my self-righteousness, playing the church part very well. It was like getting hit with a ton of bricks. All that effort after 10 years to realize that I truly did not know my Savior was shocking. This was evident in my life because I was judgmental towards others who are weaker in faith. I was subjective in my love towards others by only associating with those who are easy to love. And avoid those who are difficult to love, like that require too much work. I avoided that. What good was it to know so much truth but not have love? What good was it to show that I was living an upright life without love? None of it mattered without love. This is not our God. He's not subjected with his love where he only finds favor in those who are living an upright life. He loves everyone. He cares for everyone very much so that he gave his only son to die for all of us. There was nothing in me where it moved God's heart to love and show me favor. It was purely by grace. But why was I doing this to others? As you can see, I did not truly know God. After this realization from the Lord, I felt like hearing the gospel for the first time. It caused me to repent and confess my sins of righteousness and pride, how far away I was from truly understanding the gospel. This was God's faithfulness displayed. When I'm dethroned and Christ is put back on the throne, is God's faithfulness to me. He did not let me go down that path, but rather delivered me from myself and reminded me of who he is. So since 2012 till now, God is continually refining me and helping me to understand his gospel, his character, his faithfulness more and more each day. It is good to be reminded of the gospel each day because it reminds me of who he is, what he's done, and what he will do. Another area of faithfulness was in the hardships I experienced in the past couple of years. I'm sure it was difficult for many of you as well. Many of us went through so much. I don't want to go into all the details of the past few years with COVID, politics, social injustice, etc. But I wanted to share a few simple truths that have helped me personally and was, again, God's faithfulness towards me. In the beginning of 2020, it was a stretch about a year I wasn't doing too well. I didn't want the attention of me going through a tough time, so I would put on a game face and try to be an encouragement to believers. But inside, I was struggling. I was struggling because there was so much going on with myself. There was so much going on with my loved ones, so much hurt going on that affected me and didn't really sit well with me inside. I never had a professional assessment of my condition, but I think I went through about 6 months to a year of depression where things didn't really matter. I basically didn't want to do anything. It was a culmination of various things that affected me, but God revealed that my worship was in other things than God himself. I worshiped the gifts more than the giver. When things drastically changed, when the things that are most comfortable or things that I'm accustomed to were taken away, it was tough. In addition, disunity among the Christians didn't really help the situation. With everything that was going on, I knew I needed help to bring peace and joy in the midst of hardship, but my heart couldn't believe. I was dealing with the sin of unbelief. I knew God was sovereign, I knew God is faithful, but it wasn't helping me see and savor who he is because I didn't believe. Of course, in my faithlessness, God remained faithful. It was during our outdoor service when we went through the book of John, and at the time we were going through John 17. And this was like a 9-part series. But I can't believe I would say this, but I actually wanted him to actually keep going on. I wanted him to continue because the message was exactly what I needed to hear. If you have time to go back and watch it, I encourage you to do so because it was really good. But I won't go through all the points, but in John 17 is the high priestly prayer, Christ's prayer before going to the cross. And just one of the things that stood out in the passage was in verse 9 where Christ prays, "I'm praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours." Wow, what a reminder it was for me. A reminder that Christ, right before his death on the cross, even now seated in the throne in heaven, is praying for me. He's praying for us, right? This is such a comforting truth that God, the creator of the universe, who knows me better than I know myself, is praying for me. God knew exactly what I needed to hear to draw me back to him and restore unto me the joy of my salvation. There were so many moments like this in life that reminds me of his faithfulness. He knows everything that we go through, every thought and deed, every struggle, every joy, every sin we deal with. It brings comfort to know that he knows and is interceding on our behalf. He's our advocate and that wants us to grow in him where we seek his presence daily. To close, preparing this testimony was very helpful for me because it helped redirect my worship and be reminded of his faithfulness. The object of our faith is what strengthens us, right? Gives us joy, where we find security in, and gives us hope each day until we see Christ again. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm going to just read my sharing, so my glasses. Okay. So my name is Susie Pio, and my husband is Daniel. And like he said, we have 3 children, Caden, Colin, and Chloe. We've been attending Lighthouse for the past 9.5 years. Just like he said, when we were first asked to share about how God has been faithful to us during our time at Lighthouse, my first response was, no, no thank you. Just the fear of public speaking and the work of articulating my thoughts clearly seemed daunting to me. However, I felt God's conviction to at least consider it, and when I began thinking about it, I couldn't deny how God had been so faithful to me through Lighthouse. One of the specific ways God has shown his faithfulness to me was during the pandemic. At first, the pandemic and the stay-at-home order were not that big of a deal for me. As a homeschooling mom and an introvert by nature, I actually enjoyed having to stay home. However, as time passed, the pandemic became an extremely difficult and uncomfortable time as it brought up so many issues and differences in opinion regarding things like politics, mandates, and where the church should stand regarding these issues. The COVID circumstances provided the opportunity for many discussions that were not necessary before. I was never really interested in politics, but I found myself listening to podcasts, conservative Christian talk shows, and reading articles that my friends sent to me. These things really started fueling my anger at what seemed like unconstitutional mandates, and I felt like I needed to fight for our country and fight to maintain our freedoms. Not only that, due to the mandates and changes brought on by the pandemic and our political leaders, many of my closest friends left our church. Whether it was to move out of state or move to another church, sorry. Gosh, I really didn't think I was gonna cry. It was so hard for me because these are friends that I thought my kids would grow up and do life together with. My sadness and even anxiety over their decisions to leave revealed how much I found my comfort and identity in these relationships. To be completely honest, I struggle with the temptation to want to consider leaving as well. Okay, thankfully, the Lord was speaking to me every week through the faithful preaching at Lighthouse. The Lord really used Pastor Kim and other leaders to help me realize that I was listening to the media, friends, and conservative platforms, which were making me both fearful, thank you, and fueling my anger more than searching scripture for the truth. I was truly able to understand what Pastor Kim meant when he said, "Are we fueling our faith or fueling our idols?" I saw how I was fueling what I thought was righteous anger through the intake of all these opinions, instead of fueling my faith through his word alone. At the same time, God was using my husband to be a devil's advocate to probe and ask me questions that revealed to me my fears, idols, and wrong ways of thinking. I'm so thankful that we ended up being united in our thoughts about these different issues. I also began to realize how much I idolized relationships and how much I found comfort in my circle of friends. It's funny how I had these same struggles when I first came to Lighthouse. At that time, we left a church that we had been part of for over 10 years, and we had to build all new relationships. It was hard, but the Lord was faithful, so faithful, to provide new friendships and a community through this church. I'm realizing again and again that friends are such a means of God's grace, but it's not where I should find my ultimate comfort and security. I've been incredibly blessed by the book we're reading in small groups called Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. I'll quote a passage that really blessed me. It says, "But Christ's heart for us means that he will be our never-failing friend, no matter what friends we do or do not enjoy on earth. He offers us a friendship that gets underneath the pain of our loneliness. While the pain does not go away, its sting is made fully bearable by the far deeper friendship of Jesus. He walks with us through every moment. As his friendship is sweet, so it is constant in all conditions. If other friends fail, as friends may fail, yet this friend will never fail us." God has been so faithful to use Lighthouse to remind me that nothing can separate me from his love. I know that relationships may come and go, but Christ will never leave me. I know that nothing is certain in this world except for Christ's love and sovereignty. I'm so thankful that our church continually reminds me to take my eyes off myself, my circumstances, and whatever may be happening in this world, and instead to remember God's loving sovereignty and purpose in my life. God has been so good to remind me over and over again that nothing is outside of his control. Time and time again, our church leaders have reminded us that everything passes through the filter of God's love, and that is so comforting to me. I know that even our elected leaders have been sovereignly allowed by God to lead our country. Every law that passes, or no matter how ungodly this world seems, I know that God is still in control over all. I know that I can lay every burden and fear upon the Lord because he sacrificed his only son to save me. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things?" This gives me the hope, peace, and security that I cannot find anywhere else. I'm so thankful to the Lord for his faithfulness in using Lighthouse to continually point me to Christ and to his all-sufficient word. Thank you.
Good morning, Lighthouse. My name is Matt Davis. Sorry, I don't always sound this nasally, but it's allergy season, so. I hear some of you sniffling, so I know you guys know what I mean. It's an honor to be here to give a testimony of God's faithfulness to me through my time here at Lighthouse. I've been at Lighthouse for like the past, 17, 18 years. I think my family came like even the first or second year, so we've been here for a long time. And back then, we were still a small church. By the time I left for college, I remember we were starting to make the transition from one service to two services due to our congregation's steady increase in size, and needless to say, things are a little bit different now. I remember the moment I realized how different everything was because it was during a sermon that Pastor David was preaching, and he came up and gave himself an introduction saying, for those who don't know me, my name is Pastor David. And I was like, what's with the formality? Like, come on, Dave. Like, no one called you that. Like, but I guess I just did, so good job, Dave. If I'm honest, it was a bit jarring walking into my home church and feeling like a stranger. It took me a long time to get used to being in an unfamiliar situation in such a familiar place, and I often felt isolated from the rest of the people my age who seemed to be making deep connections. I started attending Praxis, our young adult ministry, in 2019, which was an interesting experience at the start. At the beginning, I didn't feel like I was the same as everyone else. I went back to school to finish my undergraduate degree, so took an extra. I was a super senior. Any super seniors in the house? No? All right. So I went back to finish my undergrad, and I was applying for PT school. I was working a minimum wage job at a PT clinic and as an aide when I came back. I was and still am living with my parents and would be doing so for the foreseeable future until reaching my goal of becoming a massive financial burden. Oh, I mean student, sorry. That's a typo. I didn't think I belonged because I was waiting for my life to start, and I felt like I was beginning a race 1,000 meters behind everybody else. Young adulthood's pretty crazy, and if you're anything like me, as soon as you graduate college, your life can lose most of the structure and natural progression that being in school creates. There aren't as many clear benchmarks past making enough money for somewhere to sleep, washing yourself, and putting food in your mouth. But because there was no indication for me for when this was going to start, I found myself feeling a bit lost. I felt like I was being pulled between starting a career, establishing a future family, being politically conscious and aware of the ever-growing list of existential threats to humanity, serving in church, and seeking trustworthy discipleship. Even writing all that out stressed me out. That list is still incomplete. My mom would always tell me that being in your early 20s is really hard, and I believe it now. Despite all this, if I had to sum up young adulthood for me so far, I would say that it has been a series of gentle reminders of God's grace. In the face of the uncertainty and faithlessness on my part that came with this season of life, he has been so faithful. God used my clinic job to teach me about leaning on his strength every day and trusting him to give me enough grace to get through the next day when it came. And that clinic job even taught my non-believing coworkers the lessons in Matthew 6:34. Despite my resistance, God provided me a family in Praxis. Between close friends and small groups, he allowed me to experience his love through their constant prayers and encouragements, and I couldn't fully express how important this was to me. He allowed me to find a life partner, my fiance Rachel, woohoo, which exemplifies his love, inspires me to press on towards knowing him more each day. Through Zoom ministry, he allowed time for me and Rachel to join a family small group together in the fall of 2020. And we got to sit under the wise counsel of married couples who shared their experiences of God's love with us. Additionally, Rachel got to see with simultaneous amusement and horror at how deeply I resonated with the dads that were in our small group. The list could go on and on. But if I could go back and give my 22-year-old self an encouragement, it would be to stop looking so far ahead and focus on God's grace each day. Sometimes your plans for life take a long time to get going, and sometimes you have to let go of them entirely. When you get lost in the vast sea of possibilities, go into a full-blown mental crisis trying to plan out your life, or question what God is really trying to do with you, simply focusing in on how God is sustaining you in the mundane grind of daily life is a powerful tool to use. It puts everything within the perspective of God's grace, making your desires for an ideal future less than being making your desires for an ideal future matter less than being faithful to him today. His will covers every circumstance that you could possibly face. His throne is not threatened by any earthly force, and his love for you is deeper than even your love for yourself. He promises all those things for you today, and tomorrow he'll do it again. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. We are Megan and Eric Kai. We've been at Lighthouse for the past 13 years for me and 11 years for Eric. And over the past decade, we have worn a lot of hats here. We were casual college student attendees that became members. We were employees. And now we're getting ready to leave. And so if you don't know this about us, Eric and I are going to be leaving at the end of the summer to move to Texas to be closer to my family. And so I came to Lighthouse in college when Beacon used to be like 5 students and there was only one service. It feels strangely like both a lifetime ago and just yesterday. I can still remember one of my first Sundays. Kim spoke and Mark and Christina Cato led worship. Like the same thing could be said today, and I love that. God has been so good to Lighthouse in so many ways, some new and some exactly the same. And so, but Mark, you know, I'm hoping that you bring back Invitación Fountain sometime before I leave, but you know, no worries. all silliness aside, so much has happened since then, and we don't have time to share about all the ways that God has been faithful to us through this church. I wish we did. Writing this testimony has been both a challenge and a sort of catharsis for Eric and me, and I'm not a hugely sentimental person, and so I was surprised by how emotional I got, obviously, right, thinking about the last 13 years, and so I apologize in advance if I cry. So much of who I am and who we are has been shaped by this church, by the leadership, by our friends here, and by you, the church family. And we are so thankful for all the ways that you have loved us with Christ-like love during our time here. We are so thankful for the ways that you've sacrificed your time and your energy and your resources on us. We are so thankful for the ways that you have forgiven us and extended grace to us when we sinned against you. And thank you to our small group leaders and our co-laborers in youth ministry and other ministries, our pastors and our elders and our deacons, our accountability partners and our friends. I think some of you probably never see me cry ever, and so this must be very shocking. I'm sorry. Thank you for inviting us into your homes for holidays since our parents don't live in the South Bay anymore. And thank you for trusting us with your kids and youth group when we were in many ways just still kids ourselves. Thank you for letting me be your church administrator for a few years and for how gracious and patient you were to this noob who had really big shoes to fill. And thank you for taking a genuine interest in our lives. We truly praise God for this church and we'll never forget you. Oh, sorry. Eric and I talked a lot about, you know, which particular stories to share or memories in this testimony. Like, should we talk about the season where we worked together at church, or should we talk about the online church service, or should we talk about this current season as we're getting ready to leave? And then I was like, should I just read a list of, like, all the weirdest and grossest things I ever found in the church refrigerator while I was working in the office? It's really bad. And for some reason, you know, we found it impossible to distill everything into a story or two, although I do have a lot of crazy stories, so maybe another time. Although I don't know if Kim will ever give me the mic ever again. So, because for us, when we think about Lighthouse, it has never just been a season or an event or even a job to us. Lighthouse has been our family. And we have spent so much of our life here, like literally in this building. We have spent so many hours in this building, but also we've spent so much time with you all. And we've grown up with some of you, been discipled by some of you, have had the privilege to be in examples of some of you, and we've been cared for by so many of you. And it's crazy to me to think that the kids that I used to watch in the Sparkler Sunday School class are graduating from high school this year. It's nuts. And I think that one of the coolest things about being in a church like Lighthouse is that if you look for it, or wherever you look for it, you can see God's grace and his kindness in pretty much every season of life. Won't this be my encouragement for you to be involved in the life of the church? There is so much good that God is doing all the time. And it hasn't always been an easy road, of course. There are always challenging and difficult times in any church. And I know for myself, I've had a lot of seasons where I felt tired and discouraged in ministry. I've certainly had difficult relationships here. But regardless of these, Eric and I have been reminded by you that God is faithful and that he provides what we need and so much more than we could ever ask and think. And so thank you so much for teaching us to trust in God and to live in light of his faithfulness through the good and the bad. As we leave, I'm reminded of something that is said here. I call it a lighthouse-ism. You know them. Front row seat to grace, be conduits, not cul-de-sacs, amongst many others, right? But seriously, something that is said often here is that we hope people don't say, what a great service or event or church even, but what a great God. And I think that this rings true. I mean, don't get me wrong, Lighthouse is great. We get like so many t-shirts, you know, there's like good coffee. We get the Frostbites today, you know, but what has really made it great is that I have been constantly and consistently pushed and encouraged to know our great God better through your examples. This church family has taught both of us how to pursue knowing Christ in deeper and more meaningful ways in countless different situations and contexts. And we are so thankful for that. And so that is why, even though we're both so sad to be leaving, I'm so excited for all the ways that God will be working in the lives, in our lives and in the lives of this church. We have the same great God, and I'm excited to hear it because we won't be here to see it, all the ways that he'll be faithful for many years to come. And so thank you so much, Lighthouse. We love you, and we truly praise God for you.
That tissue was actually for me.
Oh, no.
Just kidding. Hi, everyone. My name is Eric, and like Megan, I started attending Lighthouse when I was a college student. In true Beacon testimony fashion, I can't forget to thank AACF, Asian American Christian Fellowship, of course, for bringing you here. Sarcasm aside, at that time, we were still meeting at Torrance High. Fast forward a couple years later, and I came on staff as an intern in 2012, serving in our youth ministry. The elders and you guys, the church, took a chance to invest in some overly zealous, bright-eyed student who just graduated college and was about to start seminary. Actually, at that time, Megan thought that I had been attending another church, and I was like, what? I'm an intern here. That's another story for another time. Well, fast forward another few years. In 2015, Lighthouse hired me as the youth pastor, and in a couple months, I will be stepping down from this role, and Megan and I will be moving to Texas not too long after that. It's been a good run. It's also the reason why writing a testimony for this anniversary service has been kind of hard. Actually, hard is a bit of an understatement. Megan and I spent our entire 20s and early 30s attending, serving, working, and loving this church. Certainly not as long as Matt, but in many ways, we also grew up going to Lighthouse. We started talking and began dating through serving in the youth ministry. Nicole Koso saw me ask Megan out on a date at a children's ministry picnic. Lighthouse events, man. I think the Sogas saw us randomly on a date at the beach before we told anyone we were dating. Some of our closest friends, relationships were formed at this church. I mean, I met James Choi here. Hi, James. I was the original tenant of David and Jamie Lee before Keith and Jenna were. There are so many special memories that God allowed us to make and experience because of this church. And so to talk about God's faithfulness to us through Lighthouse is like trying to count the amount of times that we've sung, "Oh Lord, my rock, my redeemer," on a Sunday morning. It's impossible. But if I had to narrow down how God has been faithful to us through the years at Lighthouse, it's simply how God has been, how God has given us a church family that we love. I learned how to be a Christian at this church. I learned its theology and its lingo. I mean, you know it. I learned how to feel my faith, check my heart, to know that everything that enters my life first passes through the filter of God's love, a little less facetiously. I learned how to care and love for others at this church. But I also learned, and the reason why is because I actually learned how to receive love and care from all of you. Surrounded by wise pastors and a very patient and forgiving church, I learned how to be a pastor at this church while also simultaneously being pastored. I learned how to be a husband and friend at this church. Our pastors may have married Megan and I, but it was really this church that tended to and invested in our marriage. You know, one of the saddest things about moving to Texas for me isn't just that we're moving somewhere completely new. It's the loss of a community that we have known, loved, and belonged to for the better third of our lives. It's the Jeff Silvas greeting people at the front desk. It's Alvin Park handing out notes and programs in the gym. It's the invitations into your home and family life. It's seeing kids running around with cups full of goldfish only for all of them to completely drop on the ground, leaving the whole mess for me to watch and for Zach Chen to sweep up. Thanks, Zach. But if you know, you know. But when I think of God's faithfulness, I remember this funny, this generous, and faithful church family. Something that I have yet to mention to many of you is that when I step down from being a pastor at Lighthouse, I will also be stepping down from pastoral ministry completely. I'm stepping down not because we're moving, actually, but because I believe God is calling me to something beyond pastoral ministry, namely to be a regular, ordinary church member in the way that you guys have all encouraged me to be so. As much as I love and respect the office of pastor, pastoral ministry is not the pinnacle of Christian obedience. The pinnacle of Christian obedience is simply obedience to God wherever and however God has called us. And that's something that you all have taught me. But even though that much is clear, I'm still very much nervous about my future. Some may find my future exciting, brimming with new opportunity, but personally, I find my future to be scary, blurry, and the most nerve-wracking thing I've ever walked into. Instability is like my greatest nightmare. And so when I am tempted to question our move or doubt God's faithfulness to us in Texas, I will also remember this church family. The family that has raised me and prepared me, in the words of the Apostle Paul, to walk by faith and not by sight, or in the words of Hebrews, to go out not knowing where I'm going. Actually, as I think about all of you, I'm reminded that the Lord is our helper, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And so when we remember Lighthouse, we'll remember it as the family with whom we spend some of our best years together. But more than that, Lighthouse will always be our Ebenezer and a remembrance of God's faithfulness wherever we go. We thank God for this church family. Thank you.
Why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness. Lord, we see it in just the stories that were shared this evening and or this morning, Lord. They were different, and yet they were all about you. You're kind and you're gracious in so many ways, both through the kind of the blessing and joys of life, but also even in the difficulties and the sufferings. You were always there, always loving, always moving, always active in us. And we thank you for that. We thank you for this church family, Lord. They are a testimony to you, to your grace, and to your kindness. I pray that we would continue to strive for another year to love one another and to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.